Amen. This morning, I want to talk a little bit about living a generous life. Everybody say generous. Amen. And I want to talk to you about generosity this morning because you're not generous, because the fact is we're very generous. But I also want to talk about generosity because I want us over this next few weeks to make a big difference in the lives of people in our community and around the world. Amen. Like that's what we're called to do, right? We're in a season of generosity, right? We're getting ready to go into a place, and I just want us to be a people who make a big impact for Jesus Christ, right? Listen, for you, it's nothing because you can go where most of us here today can go buy anytime we want to, as many, provided they have them at stores anymore, as many pairs of underwear and socks as you want. Any brand you want. But how many know, like, so for you, like, that's nothing. For people who are bound to a nursing home that have nobody to come and take care of that need, how many know that's a difference maker, right? And so I want to talk about generosity because we're just kind of moving into that season. I think we should take advantage of the season we're in, right? But I also want to talk about generosity because how many would agree that God has been incredibly generous to you? Right? Like God has been, and I don't know about you, but I can tell you for me, God has been incredibly generous, right? And we're going to read about that a little bit this morning, but how many know if God's generous and I'm following him, then I should be generous, right? Because I serve a generous God and I'm following him. And so I'm going to follow his plan of generosity. So here in 1 Timothy chapter number 6, verses 17 through 18, again, our YouVersion notes, if you would like to go along with those, but the scripture will be on the screen and the notes. But here's what it says. It says, command those who are rich in this present world, not to be arrogant, nor put their hope in wealth, which is so uncertain. How many know, can I get amen right there, right? But to put their hope in God, who richly provides us with everything for our enjoyment. How many know it's not a bad thing to have nice things? Because he gives us everything for our enjoyment. Come on, somebody. Like the bass boat's for your enjoyment, right? The shopping spree is for your enjoyment. Like there's nothing wrong with having nice things. He's given us everything for our enjoyment. Command them to do good and to be rich in good deeds and to be generous and willing to share. So Paul is talking to Timothy, and Timothy is a pastor of a church. And so Paul is saying, Timothy, as the pastor of your church, I want you to talk to the rich people. I want you to talk to the rich people. To which some of you are like, dude, this is going to be a great day because here's the deal. He's talking to rich people and I ain't rich. So I can sit here and just say, I ain't rich. I ain't got to worry about it. I'll have to listen, right? Because we're all broke. Isn't that right? Right? Come on, somebody. If you hear most people talk, oh, I'm broke. Oh, I can't, right? Cost a lot at the gas pump, but we're still pumping. Come on, somebody. Let me know if you're still pumping, you ain't broke. Right? We're rich, right? And so sometimes we don't feel like that. Because here's what we talk. If I talk about rich people, what most of us think or what most of us would say is, I know some rich people, but I'm not rich. Right? I know some rich people, but I'm not rich. But the fact is, and I talk about this every Thanksgiving, and we'll talk Thanksgiving next weekend. But here's the deal. The fact is, most of us, probably all of us in this place today are not just rich. We're super rich. Right? A matter of fact, look at your neighbor and tell them today, you've got rich people problems. Right? Most of us, the only kind of problems we have is rich people problems. Isn't that right? Like, let me just give you some examples one more time, right? My car broke down. Rich people problem. Most people walk around the world. Come on, somebody. My house needs a new water faucet. Yesterday, Michelle and I put new shower heads in our bathrooms, right? Like new shower head, like that rich people problem. Because I went to Africa, and you know where their house is? Trees, underneath the tree, right? If you got a house, you got a rich people problem, right? Cell phone died, rich people problem, right? Man, I'm leaving the church today, and I don't know where in the world I'm going to eat today. Rich people problem, because most of the world has a hard time getting food just every day. What about this one, right? Right? I get to the closet, I've got nothing to wear. I mean, you have no place to put any new clothes in the closet, but I've got nothing to wear. I mean, a rich person problem. Right? Again, am I saying that's a bad thing? I'm not saying that's a bad thing at all, because what the Bible say? He says he gives us all of these things for our enjoyment. Right? How many know it's more fun to drive to church than to walk? Right? It's more fun to have air conditioned than not. Particularly in Louisiana when there's hurricanes and no power and it's 100 degrees outside and 200 in your house, right? Like, it's more fun, right? It's good. But here's the deal. We just got to understand that we're rich and we're really, really blessed. Why? Right? We need to know that we're rich, because how many know rich people act different? Isn't that right? They do. Right? And stay with me. Some of you are like, dude, he's going on the prosperity. We're not, okay? But they act different. Like, rich people live on the other side of yes. Isn't that right? Like, when you're rich, instead of every time we say something, we're going to build this for the kingdom, or we're going to give this away for the kingdom, instead of saying, no, we can't afford it, rich people understand, yes, I can afford it. Right? You live on the other side of yes. How many know that's a fun place to be? Right? How many, anybody like to tell their kids, no? Like, nobody likes to tell their kids no. We always want to be on the other side of yes, right? How many know that, listen, rich people live on the other side of yes. Hey, you want to go to Disney? Yes, we can. Hey, you want to go out to eat today? Yes, we can. Nobody's like, well, no, we can't, right? Like, rich people act differently, right? Here's another thing about rich people, and this should be true, and I don't know that it always is, but how many know rich people complain less? Right? Rich people complain less. Why? Because they have everything they need, right? So look at your neighbor right now and say, you got rich people problems. And now, don't you feel better about coming to church today? Like, you thought you were broke. You thought you were in a bad place. You thought, oh Lord, Christmas is coming. And now you just found out, dude, I am rich. Like, you should go out to eat today and say, dude, I'm rich. I'm loaded. Here's a tip, right? I'm rich, right? Here's what 2 Corinthians chapter number 8, verse number 9 says. You know the generous grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. Though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, so that by his poverty he could make you rich. This verse blows my mind. Talk about the generosity of God. Jesus loved us so much that he says he became poor. The Bible says he became sin for us so that we could be rich, so that we could be in right relationship with him. I mean, that's pretty awesome, right? So why does God want you rich? 2 Corinthians chapter number 9, verse number 11, it says, you will be made rich in every way. That's important, and we're going to get to that in just 1 second, so that you may be generous on every occasion. Like, he wants you to be blessed so you can be generous, right? Isn't that good news, right? And listen, God doesn't want you just rich financially. Can I just tell you, this is where church, I think, messes up. We talk about being rich, and we always associate it with cash. And that's one area. But can I just tell you, God wants to make you rich in your marriage. Isn't it true? We need some marriages that are healthy, that can, like somebody who's struggling, you can go and you can pour into them and tell them how you're making it and tell them your struggles and bless them and be rich enough to help somebody else. Come on, somebody. Right? God wants you rich emotionally. Right? I understand COVID's been, listen, I promise you, I've got myself included, man. I've told you already, like, I went to counseling this year a little bit. Like, I still got to go because, like, dude, it's been a hard year. But listen, I can't stay in the hard year. God needs me to be rich emotionally, so I've got some joy to pour out to some. Come on, somebody. Like, I've got some life-giving words to pour out to somebody. I can't just stay in. Man, let's listen. Like, well, it's COVID. It's like, and dude, attendance is down and blah, 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 blah. Like, dude, like, people need somebody who will speak the life-giving message of Jesus and the good news, right? So he doesn't want you just rich financially. He wants you rich in your marriage. He wants you rich emotionally. He wants you rich in talents and gifts and abilities, so you can be generous to other people, right? So this morning, I'm not talking about being prosperity movement, right? Because those people are just like, God wants you rich so you can just be rich. That's not what God wants, right? He wants you rich in every way so you can be a blessing to other people, right? But listen, God does want you to have more than you need. More joy than you need. so you can talk to somebody who can, and you can bring joy to their life. Be a blessing to somebody. He wants you to be blessed so with more than you have right now, or more than you need, so you can be a blessing, right? So we can make a big difference in the kingdom, right? So maybe today we would just say, you know what, I'm going to ramp up my prayer requests rather than just saying, God, help me get through this Thanksgiving season and this Christmas season where I've got to buy all this, like to say, God, give me more than enough so I can bless somebody else, right? And so here's the deal. We're a generous church, and I'm going to give you some things just because I think sometimes we don't say everything we do, but we're a generous church. A matter of fact, here's the deal. And we have a budget. It's kind of pretend budget, honestly. We put out the budget because, you know, sometimes our Baptist brothers, they have a budget, like they already have the money in the bank. We kind of project what we hope that may come in the bank. Come on, somebody. Right? So when we approve the budget, I always say, like, it's kind of weird because, like, we're hoping that this, so approve it. And then, you know, at the end of the year, we always, like, you know, even the board meetings, we're like, okay, we got to, you know, look at our budget and, okay, then here's what happened. And, like, if you know, do we approve the financial report? Well, if you don't approve the financial report, it doesn't matter because the money's already spent, right? So really the budget, our budget is more like a guideline. And then I love the fact that our generosity budget is always busted. I love it. We always spend more on blessing people than like, we may not do a lot of things right. But listen, generosity, you guys are the bomb. Particularly when it comes to missions. Right, I'm going to just give you a few things. First of all, we start in March, April, depending on when Easter is, usually in April, sometime in April, we do Convoy of Hope, which feeds people around the world, right? It provides disaster relief. It helps ladies come out of prostitution and actually gives them a business. And actually, so they don't have, you don't just give them a hand out, you give them a hand up. Right? Like we get them out of the place, like we help them. Right? And so we do that kind of thing all every year. We do Fire Bible. We started doing that the last couple of years, which provides translations of the Bible to places in the world that don't have a translation of a Bible in their language. Here's one thing we do locally, because we don't just do international or national or world missions, but we also do Good Pine Middle School is our one school. Now we don't do this for every school because listen, one church can't do everything, but listen, we're going to do our part. And so what we do for our Good Pine Middle School is whether you know it or not, we take and we give gift cards, about $40, really it's $10 a week, so it's not a big investment, but every week they go out to eat, the teachers do, apparently at some place on Friday, and so we get a $10 gift card, and they have a drawing, and we take care of the teachers, right? And we just bless the teachers, and then at Christmas time, we do this, we give every teacher a $25 gift card. You think, man, that doesn't make any difference. Where does that make? Listen, we had a lunch lady, I think it was last year or the year before, that $25, like that was Christmas for her kids. Well, I don't care. That was Christmas for, listen, what difference does it make? We were Jesus with skin on. We're rich in good deeds. We're generous to hurting people. Right? We also provide a gift for every single student. Now, it's only about $1, but can I just tell you, it's like something to let you, because here's the deal. Like you think it's not about the amount. It's about we do this in Jesus' name, and we'll talk about that in a few minutes, right? But we do that. We do back-to-school outreach and provide backpacks for our students, right? This year, we did something we've never done before. During the year of COVID, we brought every nurse that we knew that we had in our church, and we bought them a little deal, a necklace thing, just to remind them, and we're praying for them every day, and actually brought the nurses into our office, not myself, but Tracy was here. We had and I would just pray for them. But this year we decided, dude, like it's still like, how many know, like COVID has just been long and it's been hard. And so we decided, what can we do this year? And so this year we actually did goodie bags that invited people to church. It provided some stuff. We provided for some snacks for our nurses for both hospitals. About, I don't know, probably 700-800 bags total. Right? 700 bags. I've been going to the hospital lately or doctor a lot lately. And everywhere I go, I see the bags. It's compliments of Life Point Assembly. Listen, we're not trying to make our names famous, but how many know we are trying to make heaven more crowded? Amen. Like, and I constantly hear people like, thank you, thank you, thank you for that. Like, thank you. Why? Because listen, we're going to be marked by generosity, right? We give scholarships to our seniors, those who are graduating high school. We get every year, we give scholarships. If you get it in on time and do what you're supposed to do, come on, somebody. right? We're not going to do that in the summer and wonder how come it didn't come. Come on, somebody. Talking to my kids, okay? Sorry, excuse me, right? We do outreach to our community. We provide gift baskets for the bank and police and town hall and town workers, right? Like we do like do things here, but then also worldwide around the world mission-wise, right? Speed the Light, we're one of the top nation in our state. We're one of the top givers of our state in Speed the Light, which provides equipment for our missionaries around the world, right? I think it's a big deal. BGMC has come right behind them and they're doing an incredible job giving to missions this year. And I'm just saying this because listen, we're debt free, not so we can accumulate a bunch of money to put in the bank to save for a rainy day. But listen, it's raining. What do you mean, Pastor? People are dying and going to hell. And the money doesn't do a whole lot of good sitting in a bank for our safety and comfort. When God says people are giving so we can give, so we can rescue, like we can make a difference. Come on, somebody. I'm preaching really, really good this morning. Right? I want us to be a people who can make a difference. And let me just tell you this, and we're going to shift gears for a second. You don't give to a church. You give through a church. You're not giving to me. You're giving through a church. So that's what we're doing this season. But here's the problem, though. Isn't it? How many know that like we're rich and we can do a lot of things, but how many know the fact is that most of us are not good rich people? We're just not good at being rich. A matter of fact, here's what statistics say. Statistics say the more rich you are, in America particularly, the more you make, the less you give. Now, I don't know that that's true of our church. We have some incredibly generous people. But statistically, all over the United States, the more people make, the less they give. Right? And the reason is, honestly, we trust more in our money sometimes than we do our God. The truth is, we tend to think that we have to make all we can so we can save all we can so in case something happens. The truth is that we think that our job is our source and not our God. Come on, somebody. And again, can I just say this to you? Nothing wrong with saving. We have a savings. So don't freak out like, Pastor, you don't have a saving? We have a savings. We have a healthy savings. Right? The Bible teaches us to save, does it not? But can I just say at the end of the day, some of you need to hear this. My trust is in Christ, not cash. Oh, that was good. Let me say that again. Because some of you, like, okay, you didn't believe it the first time. My trust is in Christ, not cash. Right? If COVID taught you anything, how many know you can have all the cash? There was no toilet paper. So your cash was not your savior. You got to find alternatives. My trust is in Christ, not cash. That's worth the price of admission today. So Paul tells Timothy to teach rich people how to be good rich people. And here's what he says in verses 17 and 18 in chapter number 6. He says, command those who are rich in this present world to do good and to be rich in good deeds. It doesn't matter if you're rich, if you're not rich in good deeds, and to be generous and willing to share. So here's what happens sometimes, and here's what sometimes we do in churches, right? You ever been in a church service? And matter of fact, I've seen this happen before. I've been on the flip side of this where we show a video of people starving to death and we show these sad things and we try to pull at people's heartstrings to make them feel guilty enough to give to somebody to keep them alive, which I think is kind of sad. But listen, we're not going to do that, right? Because how many know you have the Bible and you have the Holy Spirit. And if you read the Bible and you listen to the Holy Spirit, like he's going to tell you what to do, right? But I do want to share with you some things that we want to do to make a difference in the lives of people. And I've already done this a little bit this morning, so I'm just going to name these really, really quick just to go through them. First of all, we want to do Undie Sunday, right? Again, socks and underwear for our people in our nursing home. Again, something that we take for granted every day. I know this is kind of crazy. I didn't get up this morning thinking, dude, I hope I have some underwear today. Right? But how many know there's people who do? Right, we don't think about it. One of the craziest things that I remember, Michelle was, and she was in Colorado, and she was the student, she was the nurse on the campus. And one of the craziest things, we're in Colorado, okay, 12 degrees outside, in Colorado, and little children who would come to school, actually, with no underwear. because they had to have pants, but underwear was not required. Not because it was Colorado, but because I couldn't afford it. I didn't even know that was a thing. I didn't even know that was a need. Again, because I take it for granted. But then Michelle worked, and she's, I'm like, dude, like, let's get them some underwear, right? So it's not just a, let's look good. It's a, dude, there are people who don't have it. And we have the means to do something about it. We're waiting, we're saving for rainy day. It's raining. The church needs to understand today, it's raining. Like, we can make a difference. Again, some people are like, well, you're going to spend all the money? Absolutely not, because how many know if we spend all the money, then we become the mission, right? Like, we got to have wisdom, but we can't hold on, right? So we're going to do Undy Sunday. We're also going to do Good Pine, and I already shared with you what we do for that, for the teachers and the gifts, right? Then we do Angel Tree. Again, it's about $125, I think, this year. And we can get you a list if you'd like to do that. Please let us know so we can get you the information so you can start shopping. A lot of people like to do that for Black Friday so they can get good deals. But listen, as kids, and here's the deal. With our kids, and here's what you need to understand about Angel Tree. They have to qualify for Angel Tree because some people are like, well, they are doing better than my kids. Well, these kids have been went through a system where we say, hey, if you make more than this, like we're trying to find the neediest of the neediest in LaSalle Parish. So we're not just throwing out money to everybody. We're being strategic for kingdom purposes. Are you hearing my heart today? We're being strategic for kingdom purposes. And then here's one thing I want you to do, and I'll just challenge you every year, and I'm going to do it again this year. We have these on the back. We call them random act of kindness cards. And I just want you to take some today, and let's just start doing random acts of kindness in this season. And can I just tell you, it can be something that actually God can use, and we can actually create a culture of generosity in our community. Right? As a matter of fact, some of us, maybe we should just practice today and do something totally crazy, like totally unexpected for your family today. Right? So here's the deal. Because you're already being generous as a church, we get to do a whole lot of stuff. Right? Like most of the stuff we just do because we already budgeted in, and we do an outreach budget or whatever. Like most of this stuff is already kind of budgeted in, other than Undy Sunday, we're kind of letting people be a part of that, whatever. But here's what I need you to hear me today, okay? Because I don't want you to leave here today thinking, dude, it's all about money. It's all about, because again, he wants you to be rich in every way. But how many know people's greatest need is not money? It's not about their temporary suffering. The need that we're trying to ultimately get to is to make an impact on their eternal suffering. Right? Like, it's one thing to give them money. It's another thing to give them Jesus. Right? So we want to invite people this holiday season to church. Right? Like, nobody, I promise you, nobody prays more, seeks God more, desires more to see our church filled again. And I know today we would be full. We got tons of people sick and out of town. But can I just tell you, listen, how does that happen when we start inviting people? And how many know this is the time, the easiest time to get people to come to church, right? And so here's the deal. Here's the deal. Again, I've already said this, and I'm going to say it again because I need this to be heavy on you in the thought of just remembering. More people will blow their brains out, overdose from Thanksgiving to Christmas than all of the 11 months previous combined. People are hurting. And so here's the deal. Like, it's not just inviting somebody to church. Because I know that, my messages over these next few weeks are going to be really strategic and bringing some good news. Right? Christmas season is going to be about joy. It's going to be about bringing good news, right? So I'm going to be very strategic in my messages over these next few weeks. But listen, I want us to be generous. Now, we know a lot of people like to be generous and just give money, and that's it. right? A lot of people today are in this deal of social justice. Isn't that right? Like everybody's got to have a fair share of the kind of deal. Can I just tell you this? Social justice without spiritual justice is not justice. Did you hear me? Social justice, doing the right thing to take care of things and take care of the poor without spiritual justice, doing it, saying we're doing this because we love Jesus. If we separate those two, it's not justice. Like everything we do, before we take anything out, like we're praying over it. Like, God, listen, you let this come to the people who need it most. You brighten their day. You make a difference. God, we can't go into those places sometimes, but God, you go and your spirit, like the schools can keep us out, but the Holy Spirit can't keep me kept out of the school. So God, you go ahead. And so every time, all of those baskets we gave, every bag that we gave to the hospitals, it wasn't like, okay, here's something nice for you today. Have a good day. No, it's God, we do this in Jesus' name. God, you speak to people. You make a difference in their life. God, you draw them to that place, God, where their hearts are soft toward you. So we're not just doing social justice. We're not just providing something financially. It's also spiritually. Right? So when we give and when we're generous, and we do random acts of kindness, don't just do a drive-by. You ever done a drive-by nice thing? Isn't it easy to do a drive-by nice thing? Isn't it? I'm guilty sometimes, right? Like sometimes I will pay for the person's meal behind me at the McDonald's because first of all, you got plenty of time. Plus you need to pray over that. But here's another thing. Like if I just pay for their meal, I don't have to look at their face. And I don't have to get involved in their mess. Anybody? All right. God, I hate those people in Africa are having to like starve to death and have church under trees. But God, here, we'll give $3,500 and they can build themselves a building, but I ain't going. Because that's dirty. And that's nasty. And Pastor Jeff said, I went and got nasty water out of a nasty old place, pond to make coffee. And I got to have my coffee. Like, I ain't getting involved in their mess. Can I just challenge you, when you do a random act of kindness, to actually be willing, and we're going to talk about this in a minute, to actually invest and invite, right? Like to get involved in their mess, right? Because we're responsible to share the gospel with people. Right? So here's what I want you to do. I want you to pray about God, what God would lead you to do. Here's 2 Corinthians chapter number 9, verses 6 through 7. We're almost finished. We're going to land the plane in just a few minutes. Okay, everybody good? It says, remember this, whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly. How many know, like we know this? Right? Whoever sows generously will also reap generously. Some people are like, I don't ever get anything. That's because you're stingy. Right? Some people are like, oh, nobody ever bothers me. Dude, like, listen, I have random people sometimes. Like, not because I'm great, but because, listen, my wife is probably the most generous person, right? Like, she buys people groceries. Again, I don't mean to make that a deal, but, like, sometimes I'm just like, dude, really? Right? I don't even know what she does with our money. I just turn it over. And I'm like, God, I'm just trusting. Like, God, you're going to, like, bless us. And listen, some people, I'm not getting a harvest because you're not planting anything. Right? It says, each of you should give as you what you decided in your heart to give, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves what kind of giver? He loves somebody who's glad to give. Right? A matter of fact, can I just give you permission this year? If you're going to gripe about it, if you're going to, well, now how are we spending that money? Are we really going to do, keep your money. Well, that's a little harsh, Pastor. Well, that's what God says. He says, I love a cheerful giver, which would mean if you're going, he doesn't love it when you're grumpy about it. Come on, somebody. Right? Like if you're stingy and like you can't just listen, he will get it to you if he can get it through you. Right? But he says, don't do it reluctantly. Don't like, I ain't buying no stupid underwear for no old people. then don't. But then also don't, when you're in a time of need and you're old, I want somebody. Isn't that right? Because we're going to reap what we've sown. Right? He says, so give what you decided in your heart. Don't be a Scrooge about it. Don't give out of pressure. So how do you decide? And worship team, you guys can go ahead and come. Three really, really quick questions this morning. First of all, the relationship question. And here's that. And that is, am I in a relationship of some kind with a lost person? And am I committed to being in that relationship? Right? Because listen, here's the deal. Some people never reach lost people because you don't have any lost friends. Like, we like to live in a Christian bubble. Right? And we've got to be people who are saying, you know what? Am I in a place, in a position where, because here's, can I just be honest with you? God builds his kingdom relationally. As much as I would like to, and as bad as it hurts my feelings to think, dude, it's all about Sunday mornings, it is not. Life change happens in relationships all through the week. Spiritual growth happens not on a Sunday morning, honestly. It's when people get together, right? And so here's what you need to know, that God has put you in strategic places with strategic people. That person that is getting on your nerves and you're like, dude, I am about to, God's probably got a purpose, right? Again, I worked at Best Buy before coming here and for a while, and there was people that I just had an opportunity to just do little bitty things for that made a huge impact. Matter of fact, you know who helped me pack to move? Out of all the Christians that I worked with, you know who helped me pack and load my truck to move to Texas, or from Texas to here? I had a Buddhist friend. But he's like, I don't believe in that Jesus, but you're starting to make me wonder. He's now in California, and every day I pray for him. Because God put me in a strategic place to minister to that Buddhist. God's put you in the place that maybe you think, man, this is miserable. And he put you in that place so you can make a difference. And then there's the difference question. Will it make an eternal difference? Paul says not all giving is the same. It's not good just to be generous. We've got to put our seed in good places, right? 1 Corinthians chapter number 3, verse number 12, it says, if any man builds on a foundation on using silver or gold or silver or costly stones, wood, hay, or straw, his work will be shown for what it is. What is he saying? He's like, man, if all your life is about is your house and your car and your stuff, the day's going to come. How many know, like, right? Right, like, it's like it's going to be thrown in the trash. Most of you know, I'm a technology guy. I love technology, right? Love it. And but God's right now teaching me. I haven't learned it all. Okay, so don't be my police. I have the Holy Spirit, right? But he's teaching me contentment. And so most of you also know that I like Apple products. I'm an Apple guy, right? And how many know Apple just come out with a lot of new products and whatever? And I'm just like, dude, I really would like a new Apple Watch. And I begin to pray about it. I pray about that kind of thing because I'm like, do I really need it? Well, no. But then, you know, like, where do you, like, you know, sometimes you get money and it's like to bless you so you can just do something crazy. I mean, no, it doesn't always have to make sense, right? God gives us everything for our enjoyment, right? So you can go have a steak every once in a while. Like, you know, and so I'm struggling through that. And I'm just like, dude, all the stuff that I put all this financial means in a few months, I'm just going to throw away. Technology, like this, you know, at one point, this was the hottest, greatest thing, right? God's teaching, like, isn't this good enough? He's teaching me some things because, like, what kind of difference does it make? Like, what kind of difference can I make in some other places, right? As we build our life on it. Dude, I got to have this new car, and it's only new for one stinking day. Wouldn't you think for what the car costs, it should be new for longer? Like, I don't know how we would do that. All right? Like it's new one day. And after that, like drive it off the lot. It's used. But we put all of that earthly, right? And I'm just like, sometimes I'm like, God's just like, dude, you put all your stuff here and it's all going to burn. But when you invest it in kingdom purposes, man, it makes a difference, right? He says it will be revealed with fire, and the fire will test the quality of each man's work, and it will build if what he has built survives, he will receive his reward. So here's what we're trying to do, church. And again, I'm landing the plane. We want to give to people, places, and projects that will make a difference for eternity. Paul says we'll receive our reward. Amen? And here's number three. There's the God question. If you'll get the lights for just a moment, you'll stand up with me. I want to just pray for a moment. But the God question is this. Is God speaking to me? You can just bow your head. Because, guys, this is the fun part. Right? The fun part, because we know that we're on assignment for God. Like, can I just be honest with you? Like, dude, we could do all kinds of projects and give to all kinds of stuff. But like, we don't give to everything. We don't do everything. We can't possibly do everything. But we are on assignment. We are fully aware today that we're on assignment. Like, maybe today you're like, dude, I'm going to have some Mexican food. God, is there anybody you want me to pray for today? Or anybody you want me to just bless them financially, just pay for their meal today? God, is there anybody that I can invite to church? Like, every day I go into every place, I'm looking for people to bless and encourage and pray for on there. Because we're living on assignment, right? Our family loves to be generous and tries to be generous as much as we can. And we try to let our children see it. And it's so cool to see right now, like, all of our kids, I think, are generous. Some to varying degrees. We're all learning, right, process. But I would probably say, not because she's in here today, but probably Mackenzie is probably the funnest person to watch. She's learned from her mom and hopefully from me a little bit on this whole generosity thing. Like last Christmas, she was like, her and Randy went on this drive to go deliver Christmas presents secretly to friends. No name, no nothing, just boom. I'm like, dude, there's nothing more fun. There's nothing more fun. And she come home after that trip, like she's beaming. You'd have thought she got $100,000. But she didn't. All she got was the benefits of being a generous person. Not for notoriety, not so we can say, look at what we did. But just because Jesus laid it on my heart and I want to be a blessing to somebody else. And church, that's the same thing for us. Like, I have zero interest in building the name of Life Point. We're here to build the name of Jesus. I'm not here to be a person that's all about social justice. And I want people to have spiritual justice. I want them to know, yeah, we're going to do some nice things, but we're going to do it in Jesus' name. We're going to get involved in relationships that sometimes are messy and hard because we love people, because we're on assignment. Matthew 9:35, keep your heads bowed, your eyes closed, and we're going to pray. It says, Jesus went through all the towns and the villages, teaching in their synagogues and preaching the good news of the kingdom and healing every disease and sickness. And when he saw the crowds, he had compassion. So I'm just going to say this to you, church. We're all on assignment. And this season isn't a season to endure. It's a season to enjoy. And it's a season that we can actually have an impact and make a difference in the lives of people. And so my question today is this. Can we bless some nursing homes this year? Can we bless Good Pine Middle School? Can we provide Christmas for some needy children? Can we actually take a random act of kindness card and not just give a card and a tip, but have a conversation? To invite them and to invest in their life and really love them, not just give them a check?